right, everybody, a special Superman Sunday for you. I have joining me perhaps one of the biggest Superman fans in the world, Steve Eunice from Superman Homepage. Steve, welcome to Superman Sunday.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's really great. As I told you when we were kind of emailing back and forth, Superman Homepage I've been going to for, it feels like 20 years now, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really, really long time. Great resource for Superman fans. I highly recommend it. And I've been meaning to reach out to you for literally for years now. That's on me. But really wanted to get you on, find out where your love of Superman comes from, kind of talk a little bit about Superman Homepage, and about kind of your feelings for Superman now, you know, yesterday mm-hmm. versus today. So, I always like to ask people when they come on the show the first time about kind of their history with comics or their secret origin. So for you, we'll ask in general about how you discovered comics, specifically American comics. Cause if you can't tell listeners from the accent, Steve's from Australia. And then specifically, why Superman? So what's your secret origin?
Yeah, well, I grew up pretty much watching the Superman or Super Friends cartoons on Saturday mornings here in Australia, and I think I was about 8 or 9 when I went to the theater to see Superman 2, I think it was, the first movie that I saw on the big screen. My uncle took me to see it, I think, in about 81, 82, and then just became a Superman fan, through the Super Friends cartoons, the Superman cartoons that were, reruns of the New Adventures of Superman cartoons that were airing on Saturday mornings. And I think it was through the Christopher Reeve movies mostly that I became a Superman fan and really didn't touch into the comic book side of the world of Superman until I was an adult probably just after the death of Superman that I started seeking out comic books. I haven't really been a comic book reader. I think the closest I got to reading comic books was Mad Magazine back in school. But other than that, never really got onto the comic book side of things until much later.
Wow. So you mentioned death of Superman, obviously an iconic moment. So like, how did you saw that on the local news, and was that something that drew you in and you're like, oh, I remember I used to love this character as a kid from the cartoons?
No, for me, it was the novelization of the death of Superman. So the life and death of Superman, I think off the top of my head, it was Roger Stern was the, mm-hmm. I'm probably forgetting the author there, but I was an avid reader growing up, always loved reading novels, and came across the cover of the paperback on a bookshelf at a local bookstore, and purchased the book there and then and read it and absolutely loved it. And then at the back of that novelization, there was an advert for comic books, the Superman comic books. So I said to myself, oh, I wonder if there's a Superman comic book store, a comic book store full stop in my area, and found one or two and bought a number of back issues and started getting into it from then.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that in a second, but I specifically remember buying that Death and Return of Superman. I bought it hardcover from Roger Stern, mm-hmm. even though I had read the whole the whole story. I bought the comics as they came out weekly. There was something to be said for it in that novelization, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it added a legitimacy to it, but it just had somewhat of a different feel, maybe a more grown-up mm-hmm. feel, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, agree.
So from there, as you said, you saw the advertisements for Superman comics. You headed into the comic shop. So we're looking at, around probably issue 80, 85 of the Superman title. Did you feel overwhelmed? Like, how did you go about starting to, pick up the history? Did you start picking them up going forward? Did you move backward in time? Like, what was kind of your... How did you? I'm just so interested because I had been reading for a long time at that point. So I'm curious how you got started.
Well, for me, I started buying the issues that were available then, and kind of was a little bit overwhelmed. Not sure where it was at. I think it was kind of in the around the death of Clark Kent storyline where I started really coming into the comic books, because the novelization had been out for a while. This was the paperback version, so the hardcover had probably been out for a little bit before then, and it was the paperback version of the novel that I picked up. So it was a little bit, probably about 96 where I came in, and started buying some back issues to try to fill in the gaps for the story that was currently taking place. And the internet was really new at that point in time. And so I got online to try to help fill in some of the holes and maybe find some information. And that's where I came across a web page called the Superman Home page. And it was run at the time by a gentleman by the name of Andrew J. Gould from the US. And so I started contacting him to get some information. And it was a very basic gray screen, two-page, three-page website at that point in time, which is pretty much all the internet could deal with at the time. And being a graphic designer by profession, I was very interested in the website of design, and started talking to him about maybe helping him out with his very new website at that point in time, and things kicked on from there.
So it almost seems like two of your great loves that you had discovered, graphic design, web design, and now all of a sudden this newfound love for Superman kind of dovetailed at the perfect time, and everything sort of grew from there. Is that pretty accurate to say?
Yeah, that's very accurate. It was pretty much finding the internet at that time as a graphic designer, started getting interested in the website of designing, and also looking through the resource of the internet to see some of the things that I was interested in at the time. And Superman was very much at the forefront of my interests at that point in time. And so I hunted down whatever I could find about Superman on the internet in, late 96. And there wasn't much out there, I can tell you. The internet was very new at that point as far as the World Wide Web was concerned. And this gentleman had, what I consider to be, a great resource. And at that point in time, like I said, it was only a couple of pages of material, but we soon became friends, and I started doing some graphics for him to try to, make the website look a little bit better. And, we started working together on the website then, and I soon discovered within a couple of months that sadly he was diagnosed with a very rare genetic skin disease that predisposed him to cancer. And he was going to shut down the website because his health was failing. And I said to him, look, if you think I'm capable, I would love to be able to take on your work and continue on your work, and hopefully things work out for you. But sadly, they didn't. But we transferred the files across before he passed away in November of 96.
Oh, wow. So it happened relatively quickly after you got involved.
Yeah, very quickly. And it was very sad at the time. I'd never really been friends with anybody online, because it was online friendship was a really new thing. And to have really my first online friend pass away within a couple of months of, being working together on something was pretty raw and pretty sad. And to this date, so many, many years down the track, I still share Christmas cards with his parents every December.
Wow. So that must have, I don't want to say put added pressure on you. Obviously you're doing this out of love for the character, but it probably did make you want to, strive that much more to make the website something special to kind of honor his memory, right? So how did the website grow into what it is now, which I know is a big story, obviously, but you could, give us the highlights.
Yeah, he left a list of things that he'd like to have achieved, and I set about tackling those straight away. But then, I was thinking at the time maybe, check in on the website once a week to kind of, keep things fresh. But it soon snowballed into something a lot more than that, and was taking up a daily, amount of time where I was, there were comic book reviews to post. That we started getting into that area of things. There were, Smallville started kicking in at about, 2001? So, started, getting into comic book reviews of, TV reviews of that. And there seemed to be such a wealth of information there, realizing that Superman went back to 1938, where he debuted in Action Comics, that there were so many holes we needed to fill. If we're going to do Smallville reviews, then what about Lois and Clark, which had, just pretty much finished up then, and, doing reviews of that. And then there was the the Super Friends and the Christopher Reeve movies and the George Reeves TV show and, you know, the Fleischer cartoons and the Kirk Allen serials. And I was just discovering more and more how much Superman had existed and how much there was that I was learning about and wanted to report on and become a resource, have the website be a resource for all that information, that it soon became, it snowballed beyond my wildest dreams and became a hobby that became more than just a hobby and opened a lot of doors, but also took up a lot of time.
Yeah, and I find it so interesting that you didn't really read comics as a child. I mean, part of what draws me to Superman, so just to give you the quick and dirty for me, I'd always liked the character. I kind of came to comics kind of the same way you did. You know, I love the cartoons. I love to read. And it was right about first grade that I kind of dove in head first. And Superman was just one among many of the characters that I liked. But it really was the 1986 Crisis on Infinite Earth and then the relaunch by John Byrne, whose art that I had loved on X-Men and Fantastic Four, that really drew me into Superman and made me fall in love with the character. And ever since then, you know, I was totally hooked. And I was probably around, what was I, around 12 years old in 1986. So there's a lot of good feelings and good memories and nostalgia for me that are wrapped up in the Man of Steel. You coming at it from so much later in your life, yet it seems like it still is, you know, there's a powerful love for the character, obviously a passion. You've worked on this website and it's the number one Superman website in the world. I find that fascinating that you really were learning about the character as you were creating this great resource. And if I had to guess, I would have thought it was the other way around, that the resource grew out of your love for the character. But again, it seems like they grew simultaneously, right?
Very much so. You know, I had been a fan since I was a kid. So, you know, from the age of 8 upwards, Superman had always been my favorite character. But the comic book side of things hadn't really, you know, it was never on my radar. It was always through, you know, as I said, the animation on TV, the movies. And I remember watching, you know, reruns of the George Reeves TV series, which my dad had told me about because he'd loved them as a kid himself. And so there was, you know, very much, Superman was very much part of my life growing up. And then as you get to high school years of your life, you kind of grow away from, you know, your childhood loves and, you know, start taking on other interests. But, you know, the advent of the internet, I think, had a lot to do with and that finding that novel had a lot to do with bringing me back to Superman, even though he'd always been there kind of in the background.
Yeah. Now being that your, you know, day job working a lot with, you know, web design and such, how do you feel about the advent of social media and how has that helped or has it helped kind of help the Superman homepage reach new fans?
That's an interesting one. It's really... I'm sitting somewhere on the fence with social media. While it has opened up the world a lot, the days before social media, the website seemed to be more of a community feel to it. It had, you know, we had message boards and chat rooms and forums and things that people would come to the website to do all the discussions of everything Superman related. Now with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, people seem to not necessarily, they read their news at the Superman homepage, but then they go to social media to, you know, discuss with their friends or chat about, you know, what they've read rather than in the comments section of the website. You know, forums and message boards right. have gone the way of the dodo. Chat rooms aren't necessarily exist anymore. It's really now Facebook and Twitter and those social media avenues where people are doing the commenting. And while we have our own Superman homepage groups and pages and social media avenues, they aren't the website. And so in some ways, social media has taken people away from the website as far as the community side of things. But at the same time, it's opened it up to a lot more people who can find out about the website that might not have known about it in, you know, had the social media not been around.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do miss message boards, you know, the Bendis board. Brian Michael Bendis had a very famous community that was great for fans and creators to get together and chat. And mm-hmm. yeah, that's kind of gone away. And I don't know, it just seemed more civilized for some reason. I don't yes. know, there's a little more vitriol.
Well, I think you had moderators and, you know, people realized that they were on your website. So being able to post on your message board or whatever was a privilege. It wasn't, you know, you didn't have the right to do it, though. You had to be a member or what have you. But now with social media and people just posting this, that, and the other, there's this aspect of feeling that it's your right to say whatever you want whenever you want, and there's no real self-censoring, I guess.
Yeah, it's too bad, and especially when you're talking about something as universal as Superman. I mean, this guy is known the world over, and he certainly doesn't stand for any of those sort of ideals, right? I mean, he's more about hope and positivity. So, yeah, especially as it pertains to Superman homepage, you really want
to. Yeah, it is. It kind of boggles the mind to think that, you know, people who say they follow or are a fan of a particular character. Who stands for, you know, for all these good things, yet they can be so nasty to each other. And you think to yourself, well, how do you say that you're a fan of a character, but you act like his arch nemesis?
Yeah, like just look at the way the Superman fan base reacted to the J. Michael Straczynski storyline. Mm-hmm. The way that was like, I'm like, really? We're fans of Superman here, and you guys are like calling for this guy's head. Do you see how this doesn't like compute?
And it just keeps going, whether you get to New 52, whether you get to Bendis now, whether you look at Superman Returns, Man of Steel, Zack Snyder. It's the fandom seems to always get split down the line and start attacking each other. And I often wonder what Superman the movie would have been like. The reaction to it had the internet existed and social media existed at the time. I mean, it's much beloved now, but were comic book fans who were reading the comics at the time thinking, this is not Krypton, we don't have an ice planet, you know, this is not the way, you know, he came to Earth, this is not the way it's supposed to be, you know, what would the internet have reacted in a negative way had it existed in 1978?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm not old enough to remember. I'm old enough to remember sitting in the theater and watching it, but I was unaware of reactions. And I have much more vivid memories of going to see Superman 2 with my family. But by that time, you know, Christopher Reeve was, you know, beloved, and you know, maybe more so than any movie I've ever known of or heard of in my lifetime. That tagline, "You will believe a man could fly." Was so perfectly suited for that movie. But that's a good transition into what else I wanted to ask you about. Superman yesterday versus today. So why don't we start off, and I know this is a broad question and a huge one for a Superman fan, but what do you think it was that really attracted you to the character, you know, as an 8-year-old when you, or even younger when you first started watching the cartoons? Like, why did he become your favorite, do you think?
I think for me, the thing that's always stood out about Superman is that he does the right thing simply because it's the right thing to do. He doesn't have any ulterior motives. It's not about revenge or vengeance or feeling guilty, you know, for this, that, or the other, like some of the other heroes that followed. For me, you know, maybe that sounds sappy, but I've always been brought up in a way that, you know, do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not because there's something in it for you or because, you know, of any other reason. So for me, that kind of really resonated, and I was drawn to that aspect of the character, and still am. And I think that, you know, that idea of hope and that idea of, you know, helping people has just been something that's really been part of my upbringing and something that I've always been drawn towards. And so for me, I think that aspect of Superman was and is still what draws me to the character and makes me a fan of the character.
Yeah, I echo a lot of those same sentiments. He's so inspiring. You know, it could have gone so many other ways, and we've had stories like that. I think one of the other biggest Superman fans I know is Mark Wade. And if you look at his Irredeemable series, I don't know if you've ever read that, but there, but for the grace of God goes Superman, right? It could have gone so differently. And so the fact that he went through this tragedy, lost his entire home planet, and he could have been bitter, but, you know, based on who raised him and the values that he was, you know, instilled with, he became this complete paragon of hope. And like you said, he does the right thing, not for any other reason other than it's the right thing to do. And again, that's like something that I think all of us as inhabitants of this planet could do with a little more of. We all could strive to 100%. Be a little bit more like Superman, and the world would be better off for that reason. And I know, so I come at Superman from the approach of probably a comics fan first. That's probably, you know, the thing about Superman that I enjoy the most and I consume the most. But I know on Superman homepage, you guys cover a lot of things from TV to film and the comics. So I wonder if we could kind of break it down by genre here, starting with TV, because I haven't even, I mean, and this is going to just, 12-year-old me would like try to beat the heck out of me. I haven't even seen like all the Smallville episodes. I don't watch Supergirl. I don't watch any of the CW shows, actually. In my mind, and long-time listeners will know this, whenever I try to watch a movie or a TV show, I'm always thinking in the back of my mind, you should be reading comics. it's totally me. I just do it to myself. But who is Superman to you on TV now in terms of, you know, character and the way he's being portrayed in Supergirl versus you know, you mentioned like the Kirk Allen serials, you know, the George Reeves show, Lois and Clark. He's really evolved over the years, and I know they try to keep him modern, right? You want him relatable. So I think you'd be an excellent person to talk about Superman on TV yesterday versus today. What are the kind of the evolutions that you've seen?
Okay, well, you're right. He has evolved over the years, and I think every generation kind of gets the Superman that they need. You know, in the 1950s, as far as the TV series was concerned, with George Reeves, he was kind of that father figure that, you know, especially to Jimmy Olsen and in that TV series, and for the audience that it was aimed at, he was really was that kind of, you know, dad figure that, you know, you could look up to and admire and be inspired by. And I love those, you know, all 104 episodes of that George Reeves TV series. It changed itself over the number of years that it was in existence, the six seasons. And then you really kind of jump forward for live action to Lois and Clark before you get to a real, you know, another live action version of Superman on TV. And that was more focused on Clark Kent and the relationship with Lois Lane, and was very much reflective of the 1990s, you know, male and, you know, the getting in touch with your, you know, your feelings kind of thing, and making him more relatable to women who were a big focus of that TV show. Then, say, as far as today is concerned, well, Smallville was, you know, all about Superman before he became Superman, so all about Clark Kent growing up, and those 10 seasons were phenomenal, and they waxed and waned as far as the, you know, the stories were concerned, and value that they brought to TV, and whether or not some people liked certain seasons over others. But as far as the current incarnation of Superman played by Tyler Hoechlin on the Supergirl TV series, I like Tyler's portrayal, but I'm not necessarily happy with the way that the writers of this Supergirl TV series have portrayed Superman in their efforts to build up Supergirl. I'm all for, you know, gender equality and for, you know, diversity and all these different things that they're trying to portray. But in trying to build up Supergirl, they tend to want to put down Superman to do that. And I don't think you need to do that. I don't think you need to put Superman down in order to build Supergirl up. And they've had things where Superman's saying, you're so much stronger than me, you're so much better than me, the world doesn't need me if you're here, so I'm going to go off into space and do this other stuff because I know that you've got everything under control. And it's like, it's all well and good for him to show confidence in her, but do we really need them to, you know, shove down our throats, you know, this whole you're so much better than me kind of thing. I'm no, you know, but without you know, they can build up Supergirl without, as I said, diminishing Superman in any way. And I don't think that they've traversed that line very well.
Yeah, that's I'm kind of glad. I did see the first episode of Supergirl. I'm kind of glad that I didn't keep going, because I think that would bother me as well. And again, it's nothing against Supergirl. It's just, you know, Superman was first. And it just doesn't seem really that true to the character, which is a lot of the problem that listeners will know that I had with Man of Steel, which is a running joke with one of my co-hosts. Whenever he wants to rile me up, he talks about how good Man of Steel is as a film, which gets me going. But the other thing I
want—I guess everyone has their own tastes.
Yeah, exactly. What about Krypton on Sci-Fi Channel? Have you been watching that?
Yeah. That was a real surprise. Krypton, I went in with, you know, lukewarm kind of, you know, feelings towards it. I was like, yeah, it's Superman related. I'm going to check it out. I'll see what it's like. There wasn't really much interest from Superman fans about, you know, a show about Superman that didn't involve Superman. But the way that they tackled the show and the way that they made Superman's existence intrinsically meshed in with the show's story, you know, if this doesn't happen, then Superman doesn't exist. It was really interesting, and I absolutely loved season one of Krypton, and I'm really looking forward to season two. You know, they've brought in Zod, they've got Doomsday on the way, there's, you know, Brainiac. There's so many aspects of the Superman story that are familiar to us from all, especially comic book readers who really haven't seen Brainiac in any live action version before. To see this all come into play and to have it tied with Superman's current existence, you know, through time travel, is just really well weaved as a story. And the special effects, the attention to detail, the set designs, it really feels like a movie rather than a TV series. And I think they've done a really good job of being able to, you know, pull it all together and keep Superman fans interested.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things from Superman fans that I whose opinions I trust, because, you know, like I said, normally I don't spend much time watching these kind of things. And I thought the same thing. Well, wait, aren't you just going down kind of the road that Gotham went down, I haven't really heard good things. It's Krypton before Superman. Maybe can be interesting, but probably won't last. And then based on a lot of, as I said, people whose opinions I value, Jason Inman being one, a friend of the show, also, you know, a podcaster, who's told me repeatedly, you need to watch it. So it may be one of those things where I need to finally make some time, as it were.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Let's talk about movies. You mentioned the you know, the first Superman, the Christopher Reeve Superman. How do you feel about that particular era, those four movies? I love the first one. I know a lot of people say the second one is the best, but for me, that first one just barely edges it out. As much as I know some people dislike the third, I actually enjoy that one too. I think the whole humor aspect of Richard Pryor is pretty good. The fourth one, I have to admit, is pretty tough to sit through these days. So where do you stand on those four originals?
I think I mirror your thoughts exactly. Superman the movie, for me, is definitely the best of the bunch. Superman 2 was a great follow-on. And, you know, there are a lot of people now who are more inclined to prefer the Richard Donner version of Superman 2. I'm kind of on the fence there. It's obviously not, it's incomplete in many ways and uses the same ending for Superman the movie as was intended by Donner before he got axed from directing the second one and being able to complete it. So Superman 3, obviously the junkyard scene, the fight between Clark and Superman is, you know, probably the best part of that movie by far. I was a big fan of Richard Pryor, so I didn't mind the whole comedy aspect of that and his involvement. But like you said, Superman 4 is difficult to watch these days, especially the special effects side of things and how disjointed the story is and how many threads just got left untethered. And, you know, before that, obviously, there was the Kirk Allen serials that were on in the 1948, 1950 on the big screen for people who went to see them, obviously not as a movie, but as weekly serials. And then you come up to the modern day Zack Snyder versions of, you know, with Henry Cavill. And I know you're not a big fan, but Man of Steel for me was really enjoyable. I love Henry Cavill as Superman. I think he holds the character to his heart the way, you know, we want him as fans to do. I think he really respects the character. Maybe he wasn't given the story that many fans would have actually liked, but I thought it was a unique take on, you know, what would happen if Superman did exist today, and if, you know, with the whole the media the way it is, the world the way it is. Batman v Superman, yes, I can take or leave it. There are some aspects of that film that I enjoyed. And as far as Justice League is concerned, well, many people, you know, bash the film for good reason in many respects. I felt that was probably the truest version of Superman that Henry Cavill has played, and would love to see him be able to play that version or that take on Superman in another film before he's done with the character.
Yeah, I actually agree with a lot of what you're saying, Steve. I think that Justice League was them finally starting to get it right. As much as I didn't like Man of Steel, a lot of people enjoy Man of Steel but can't stand Batman versus Superman. I actually enjoyed Batman versus Superman more than Man of Steel. But I remember when the movie started out, sitting there in the theater and consciously making a decision that I was going to look at this movie as not the Superman I know, not the Superman, not the comic book universe Superman. This is, you know, just another part of the multiverse, and I gotta accept it for that. But for some reason, I can't give Man of Steel the same pass, and I think the reason is because there are moments in that film where it does feel like my Superman, particularly my favorite scene early on when Henry Cavill, Clark Kent, is on the oil refinery, the oil platform.
Right. Yeah.
And he's holding, you know, there's flames behind him, and he's holding up the, you know, the infrastructure so everybody can escape. It just felt so, I'm like, oh, this is really going to work. And then the problems I have with it are the portrayal of Pa Kent and
yes.
Superman at the end going after his fight with Zod. You know, whether he had to kill Zod or not, I won't, you know, argue that. But the Superman I know would immediately after that was over be looking in the wreckage for survivors, not going to kiss Lois. So they're just little things like that that I had a problem with. But and the thing is, I don't think it's a bad movie at all. I think it's actually a good movie, and especially in terms of special effects and visuals. But it just didn't feel like Superman to me. If you had called it something else and told that story with a, you know, a different alien being coming to Earth, I think I would have enjoyed it. But I just don't think I was ready for that kind of angsty Superman.
I think we're forgetting Superman Returns is in before there as well. And I think what we got with Man of Steel is a direct reflection of the way Superman Returns was received. Mm-hmm. Superman Returns was very much a love letter to the Donner films of Superman. And I think people's reaction was, yes, this is good, but we've seen it already. We want to see something different. And so I think Warner Brothers' reaction to those comments was, okay, well, what about this? And that's where we got Man of Steel.
Yeah, I think maybe they swung the pendulum a little too far, because I do agree with you, and I don't think Brandon Routh is a bad Superman, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad film, but I think the fact that Superman Returns was supposed to be the same Superman from the first four films, and it was supposed to be a gap of time, but it just didn't work. I think they should have started over and just left the first four as, you know, alone and started over with maybe some of the sensibility of the first film, but they could have made it a little darker and edgier. But I think Snyder went too far in that aspect. But again, like you said, different, everybody has different tastes, but I agree with you that I 100% would love to see Henry Cavill get another shot at the character, because I think he has the physique, the look, the gravitas. I think he would be an incredible Superman. I don't feel like he's gotten a script that really lets him show what he can do yet.
Agreed. I think he's a big comic book fan as well, so he's read a lot of the stories that he feels like he knows where he thinks the character should go.
Yeah, and we still – now, maybe you know better than I, but we still don't know, like, officially, right? I mean, we've heard Ben Affleck is out as Batman officially, but we haven't heard about Henry, right, one way or the other?
That's right. There are rumors and speculation out there about whether or not he's done with the role, and there isn't anything in place. You know, there was supposed to be a rumored role, cameo of him in Shazam, which didn't happen. I mean, there is a Superman cameo in there, spoiler, spoiler, but it's not Henry Cavill as such. You don't really see his face. So we do know that they're still in the same universe, and there is a Shazam sequel that's been announced, you know, being written. So Wonder Woman's still going on, and, you know, we've Aquaman's got another sequel coming on. So that universe still exists. So while Batman, Henry, you know, we know that Affleck is done with Batman, and what they will do there, I don't know. There's still a possibility for Superman to continue on and appear in more films. And, you know, Henry is still keeping in shape, and he's still very much wants to continue on with the character from all the interviews that I've seen. I just wish that they would get a script in place and give him another chance.
Yeah, I mean, if they want a good script, there's plenty of us Superman fans out here that will tell them, you know, how to get it right, I'm sure.
I'm sure you and I would be happy to go on board as, you know, right, kind of script advisors.
Yeah. Yeah, screenwreting consultants. We're, Steve and I are available. We're just putting that out there, Warner Brothers.
That's right.
Reach out to us. Well, let's shift gears to the comics here. I wanted to ask you. So you jumped on, you know, Death of Clark Kent right around that era. You went back mm-hmm. to fill in some holes. Did you ever? Because I would do this at various times when I started collecting. I would say, okay, I'm going to start reading like as soon as I buy the books, but. So from here forward, I'm going to read everything, but I'm going to go back and I would set myself like a landmark. I'm going to go back to whatever, to issue 350, and I'm going to get everything from 350 up until that point where I started reading. And then when I have them all collected, then I'll read that big chunk, and then I'll go back to 300, kind of like that. Did you ever set a goal for yourself? Have you gone back and read that classic stuff, like the Byrne stuff and even previous to that?
Yeah, I did. I very much went back to the beginning of the Byrne era and started trying to, you know, realize that was a jumping on point that wasn't too far in the past that I could get onto. I bought a number of trade paperbacks, which seemed the simplest way of, you know, catching up on some key moments. But I very much, from that point onwards, continued to buy and read the comics on a weekly basis. And it's only within the last couple of years that I've gone into the digital domain of comic books and stopped the bagging and boarding and boxing of my comic books and went digital completely and haven't looked back. But I still, you know, I don't just read Superman and Action Comics and back in the day, you know, all the other Adventures of Superman and Man of Steel and Man of Tomorrow, but you know, read Justice League, Supergirl, you know, at the moment Wonder Twins and Young Justice and anything that's Superman related. And anything that we're reviewing for the website, I'm reading, and yeah, it's I still love it. And, you know, comic books for many years of the, you know, the Superman homepage's existence has been our main focus. And because they come out weekly, where Superman TV series or movies are sporadic in their release, comic books has really been up there as the main driving force behind the website staying up to date. And yeah, very much still enjoy reading the comic books from week to week.
Yeah, I, you know, it sounds like you read almost as many books as I do. But I find it really interesting to see, you know, we were talking about how Superman has evolved in terms of, you know, the TV show. You could even argue movies as well, with him getting a little darker in this kind of the Snyder era. I feel like the comics, he has changed somewhat, but it hasn't been, I don't know, it just doesn't feel as drastic to me. I mean, certainly we're not in the goofy sort of everything is black and white in terms of good versus evil of the Silver Age. But mm-hmm. I really feel, I mean, when you look at 86, just, you know, in terms of momentous importance in comics, we had The Dark Knight Returns, we had Watchmen and Byrne rebooting Superman. But while a lot of other characters were going dark and gritty, grim dark, another term people use, Superman was being reinvented in such a way that he was more hopeful than ever, and he was modernized, and rightfully so. Byrne didn't add that edge to him, and we've never really gotten that with Superman, and I feel like that's why I say in terms of evolution of the character, he hasn't changed as much. He seems like he's still... you know, stands for the same things that he stood for from the beginning, you know, truth, justice, and the American way. Mm-hmm. And at least in this country currently, with our current political climate, all of a sudden truth is maybe not truth. And he has managed to kind of stay out of the political side of it, although, you know, a few writers here and there. But I wonder if you have any opinion or idea about why that has been, that he's remained relatively untouched with kind of the more dark or gritty or realistic sort of turn that a lot of characters have gone through over the years.
I guess it's the writers that have been involved. I mean, you look at the, you know, obviously at the moment, Brian Michael Bendis has got his own style and he's got his own ideas of bringing in certain elements of stories that he wants to write. And before that, in the Rebirth or Reborn era, you had guys like Dan Jurgens writing Superman and Peter J. Tomasi, who were and are continue to be, you know, writers that don't need to, you know, put a political bent on something or, you know, come with any other agenda other than to write really good stories. And Superman has such a rich history and such a rich culture of characters that you can touch on and introduce new elements like they've done with Jonathan, his son, and you know, things like that, that there is so much you can touch on without having to resort to that type of storytelling. And I think that's what sets Superman apart, is that, you know, you don't need to go to the dark and gritty side of things to be able to tell good Superman stories. And Dan Jurgens very much himself is part of that era of the Byrne era where, as you're talking about, things were always, you know, on a positive slant. And I think it's told some of the better stories of the last decade or so that we've seen in the Superman comic book history.
Yeah, and I've talked to a lot of different creators over the years since I've been doing the podcast about Superman, and he can be challenging to write. You know, there's always you can't do certain things with Superman that you can do with other characters. And you know, it was part of the reason that they made the change that they made when Byrne came in 86, because it was, well, this guy can move planets. How do you challenge him, right? We're running out of ideas and ways to keep telling stories. So I agree with you. I think that is a big part of it. But what's interesting is some of the writers I respect the most have unique outlooks on Superman. Talking mm-hmm. about this guy is actually, when you think about it, the most lonely guy because nobody can really relate to him. Nobody can really understand what he goes through. And I think that was something that Scott Snyder specifically tried to do in the Superman Unchained series, but I think that suffered from some delays and loss of momentum. Yeah. But I think it's also a little bit of what we're seeing that Bendis is doing, you know, really showing a unique take on Superman and kind of showing ways that he's using his powers that we've never seen quite illustrated in the way we have before. So there's a lot of things that Bendis is doing right, but I also feel like there's some things that Bendis is doing that they're just not clicking with me. Maybe I'm not getting them. How are you feeling overall about the Bendis run?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I think a lot of fans are, as you say, not necessarily really on board at the moment. And I think it's because he likes to play the long game. He has this idea, the way he tells his stories, there's very much a end result that he wants to get to, but he takes his time getting there. So for a lot of people, it's frustrating reading his comic books or any Superman stories because there seems to be not necessarily filler issues, but a lot that's kind of being left and we're waiting and just kind of hanging on to see what's happening and other elements are being brought in. And it's like, we just want to get to the, you know, to the meat of the story. And I think he not pads things out, but he has, as I said, plays the long game. And a lot of people aren't necessarily up on that type of comic book reading, especially for Superman, where for so long it's kind of been self-contained issues or stories that, you know, maybe are three issues long, and so you know where you're going. But at the moment, we seem to be kind of, yeah, we get to an end of a story arc, but it's really chapter one of a longer story arc that he's playing towards. And so I think for some people, it's just like they're not getting the bang for the buck that they're hoping for.
Yeah, I'm looking at it as I feel like I missed out on a lot of years of John Kent storytelling in Superman, aging him. So I get that. So that's been bugging me a little bit, but it's been overall, I've been enjoying Superman more than action. And mm-hmm. Yvonne Reis' art is, spectacular. The issue that just came out this last Wednesday, Superman, I think it was issue 10, where Superman and John get rocketed off back into space. I can't wait for the next issue. It looks spectacular. So I'm overlooking for now that we lost out on some years of John Kent, and maybe we can turn back the clock at some point. But action, I don't know. I haven't really been enjoying it. It almost feels like Bendis is trying to tell a crime noir story in a Superman comic. And for me, that just doesn't work. This shadowy cabal that's supposedly been operating under Superman's nose in Metropolis for years, I'm just not buying. I'm like, no. So he would have figured that out by now. I'm not. And plus, that's the one that seems to have, well, recently Lois has been quite a bit in the Superman issue. But the action is more the Daily Planet kind of thing. So that's the one that has more of the Lois Clark relationship, and I'm not. It's so I don't understand, because again, Brian, I've met Brian before. He is maybe the most energetic and passionate creator I've ever met. Really gets people fired up. His love and devotion to comics are infectious. And he's I've been on panels and I've heard him give interviews where he talks about how, to him, Lois is the bravest person in the DC universe. She's the most important, the strongest character. But then I'm like, well then why are you like, what are you doing with their relationship? Like with her coming back to Earth and keeping it a secret. And yeah, I'm not sure that I understand his take on their relationship. So, I know I mentioned when I was when I guested on your show for a few minutes the other night, I was saying I'd love to have you and or Michael come on and like help me out here with what I'm missing at some point. We'll go through some issues because I don't know. I'm not feeling it with action. What am I missing, Steve?
Well, it's hard to say because it's one I can't really put my finger on. I like the Daily Planet aspects of Action Comics. I like the Clark Kent reporting aspects of the Superman stories. Well, I'll agree with you. I'm not sure where he's going with the Lois and Clark relationship, and there have been some elements of Lois's actions that have maybe been out of character in some ways. I think I'm more forgiving maybe than some, and I'm happy to go along and see what happens. And, I think there have been so many stories down the line where, in another 10 years, maybe even five, maybe even two, it's going to be reset again and we're going to be telling another different version of the story. So I don't get too hung up on, out of character moments or stories that maybe, take Superman in a direction that other people aren't necessarily happy with, because, I'm interested to see what different writers want to do with the characters. And we don't want to see the same storylines. We don't want the Silver Age just revisited over and over again and told in a modern context. We want to see new ideas and new concepts being thrown about. So if Bendis wants to do that and tackle a different aspect of the Lois and Clark relationship, or age John because he has a certain idea he wants to put into practice or put into play for that character's development, then I think I'm happy to go along and see where he takes it. And if I don't like it, I'll say so, but I'm not going to get too hung up on it and go, this is not for me, axe the guy, get somebody else in. I think I'm probably more forgiving in that way.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel the same way, and it's why I'm still picking it up and I'm still reading it and we're still doing Superman Sundays. And I'm not blaming it on Bendis. I'm saying it's me. I'm trying to understand, because I know a lot of people are enjoying it, and I recognize that when it comes to the Lois Clark relationship, I'm a little irrational about that. I'm not as forgiving, but that's because my wife, Superman's my favorite character. My wife is named Lois, and I can't help but project. I know it's completely unfair, but I just, part of it is I can't help it. And I think in hearing you talk about it, one thing that I realize about the Action Comics title, and I think I even remember Bendis saying something about this early on before, even before his Man of Steel series came out, was him wanting to partially explore kind of what Superman was about when action first started. And mm-hmm. in that way, he wasn't quite as powerful as the Superman that we know. And he was fighting against slumlords and people running sweatshops and stuff. And so if you look at it from that aspect, I suppose, doing sort of a crime noir, more street level crime, secret cabal sort of makes sense. Because in that case, if Superman was at the power level he was in those, say, early first 50 issues of Action, then this organization totally could exist. But it felt strange to me that Bendis pointed out in the Man of Steel series just to how aware Superman is of his environment, you know, with hearing the girl playing the song, and all of a sudden when action starts, we're like, okay, now as amazing as these senses are that he has, there's been this secret organization that's been operating under his nose. So but yeah, I'm still in for the long haul. I'm not going to stop collecting Superman comics anytime soon, because like you said, you know, give it a year, two, three, it'll all change again. So well, go ahead, Steve.
No, I was just saying, yeah, you just kind of take it with a grain of salt. You know, if you're not enjoying it, then don't have to buy them, or maybe wait for the trade to see if it's going to be something that you want to read as a whole. But you know, I like to be a completist, and I like to make sure that I continue reading.
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to give you a chance to sort of give an overview of the different resources you have on the Superman homepage. So if any of our listeners are specifically looking for, you know, like a database of, you know, whether that be cartoons or, you know, information about comics, or what exactly can be found there?
Well, our tagline for the website is everything you ever wanted to know about the Man of Steel and more. We cover everything, every aspect of Superman from the 1930s to today. We cover comic books, movies, TV shows, radio series, merchandise, you know, Superman in the real world, Broadway musical, you name it. If Superman was part of it, it exists on our website. We have a comic book index that covers all the comic books from, you know, back in the day to today. We do all the weekly reviews of the comic books. We review and have episode guides for pretty much all the Superman and Supergirl and Smallville TV series. You know, it's we even got a database of all the popular songs that either have Superman in the title or within the lyrics. And there have been, you know, nearly 600 of them that we've currently got documented. So, you know, I mean, there's obvious ones like, you know, REM Superman, I Am Superman, there's Kryptonite by Three Doors Down, but there are so many others, you know, Barbara Streisand and, you know, more than I can just rattle off the top of my head at the moment. So there's so much to Superman that's documented on our website. If we don't have it, let us know and we'll put it in place.
Right on. Now, here in the U.S., I would say that Batman outstrips Superman in popularity, which I don't necessarily understand, but it's been that way ever since probably a little before the 89 Michael Keaton movie, Tim Burton Michael Keaton. What about in Australia? Who's the top dog there between the two?
Or yeah, well, I definitely think it probably mirrors the U.S. in many ways. You know, Batman is, in the DC universe, is currently more popular. And with the Marvel films at the moment, you know, everything's Spider-Man and Avengers and, you know, Iron Man and all those characters are pretty much in the forefront. You know, you go through the toy section of the department store and even the kids' clothing and there. You know, Superman's still there, but he's not as prominent as maybe I would like. Mm-hmm. And I always go to those racks and put the Superman shirt to the front so everyone can see them. But that's just me. But yeah, I think it very much mirrors what's happening there in the US and probably in a lot of other countries as well, you know, what's popular at the moment. And we seem to gravitate, or the world seems to gravitate, to the anti-heroes and the darker heroes and the flashier heroes with the gadgets and all the extras that you can add on, where Superman doesn't need any of those. And so it's probably from a merchandise point of view, not as popular, but I still see the Superman t-shirts everywhere. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's a sporting venue, a stadium, you know, a concert, whatever, there's Superman t-shirts left, right, and center. And maybe it's just my eye and my brain sees them everywhere, but I know that they're out there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. And I'm always happy to see when someone's wearing a Superman shirt. It always makes me smile. Now, has doing the Superman homepage over the years, has it opened up a lot of opportunities for you as far as meeting any creators or coming to the U.S. to go to conventions, just having an opportunity to really engage?
Yeah, it has. It's been amazing. Was invited to the Man of Steel premiere in New York and got to go to the after party and rub shoulders with the celebrities there, which was my very first time to New York. Was invited back for the Batman v Superman world premiere in New York as well. Couple of years later at Radio City Music Hall, and really enjoyed that, and have been across to the US a number of times for the Superman celebration that takes place every June in Metropolis, Illinois, the four-day festival there, which is something all Superman fans should get to at least once in their life. And have been able to interview, the celebrities that are special guests there. And it's amazing. I don't get really recognized or anything here in Australia by Superman fans because they're just few and far between. But when I go to conventions and things there in the U.S., for people, I guess the novelty of being an Australian in the U.S. probably helps. But having Superman fans come up to me at those events and tell me that they love the website, and you know, having photos with fans and stuff like that, for me, that's a real kind of acknowledgement of the work that I've put in over the years. And it's a nice pat on the back that you don't necessarily get when you're on the other side of the world, where most Superman fans. And it has been a real blessing, and I've really enjoyed my time and continue to enjoy my time running this website.
Yeah, now, do you attend conventions there in Australia as well?
I do. There aren't that many of them. Supernova is probably the biggest one here in Australia, which happens in most of the major cities. And I do like to get to those. They are not necessarily the comic conventions that you probably remember from back in the day. They're probably becoming more like, you know, San Diego Comic-Con, where all the other mediums are taking over from the comic book side of things. They all are comic book-based characters, but seems to be more of a focus on pop culture aspects rather than the comic book culture. But still, it's good to be amongst those that crowd and see just how many people get into the whole cosplay thing. And, you know, where once upon a time we were considered nerds and geeks, now it's kind of recognized as being just as good as being a sports fan wearing your jersey the shirt for your that you follow for your football team or your soccer team or whatever. So that kind of side of things, is it's really good that that's becoming mainstream.
Yeah, isn't it so weird though? Because when I was growing up, I didn't tell anyone I read comics. It wasn't cool.
Yeah. No, that's right.
It's just totally crazy. You do have a couple of great Australian creators that I know, Nicola Scott and Tom Taylor specifically.
Yes,
when you 100%. Talk about Superman, Nick did that incredible cover for Action Comics 1000. For I think it was King's Comics that did that.
That's right. So. Yes, here in Australia with all the different eras of Superman. I think she's done a similar one of Batman for the Batman celebration.
Yeah, she did. She did. So I say all that to say this, Steve, if you're ever coming to a show again in the United States, a convention, you let me know, because if I'm not going to that show, I will definitely try to make it happen. We'll definitely have to have to meet up. So
sounds great.
I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I know how busy you are maintaining the website. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, I just think that your podcast is fantastic. It's great that you're still championing the comic book side of things over other mediums. So more power to you and keep up the good work.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Stephen. And like I said, hopefully we'll have to do this again soon and just drill down specifically onto some issues of Bendis's Superman. And, we recently did a top five Superman artists of all time, and we're planning a writer top five. So maybe we'll invite you guys back on to do that as well. So again, best of luck with Superman homepage. You know, I'm a fan, you know, I'm going to be continuing to watch your live broadcast every Tuesday. And maybe you should let everybody know about that as well. Now that I mention it.
Yeah, 100%. We do a live broadcast on YouTube every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. For 1 hour, we talk about whatever's new in the world of Superman for that week. And that's me and my co-host, Michael Bailey, who you should definitely get on the show. He's a wealth of Superman knowledge. And, we also do a weekly video, I do a weekly video just up giving everyone a kind of update on what's happened in the world of Superman in all across the different mediums. So make sure you check out those, both on our YouTube channel. And it was great to talk to you last week on our show. We don't get many callers these days. We don't have time for many callers. There's just so much happening in the world of Superman. But to be able to talk to you live on our show was really great.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And it's a good problem to have, you know, lots of Superman news. That means he's, we're getting still new stories. And yeah, exactly. So again, Steve, thanks so much for joining me. I'm sure we'll talk again soon. And listeners, for sure. I highly encourage you to go check out supermanhomepage.com. As I said, and as Steve was telling you, it's just a wealth of Superman knowledge. The things you did not even know about Superman. Like, I had no idea there were 600 different popular songs with Superman in the title. So I'm gonna have to go do a little research.
Things like his balloon on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is the largest one that ever existed. We've got things about Seinfeld's Superman references in the Seinfeld TV series. So many different aspects of the character that you can find out about on supermanhomepage.com.
That's amazing. And let me take the opportunity, Steve, to thank you for being on the show again, and also on behalf of all Superman fans, thank you for Superman Homepage and all the hard work that you do in maintaining it. It's clearly something you love, and your hard work definitely shows when you visit the website.
Thank you very much.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.